From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Look at the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien from K-State out in Kansas. And then we'll wrap up our discussion today, as usual, by looking at the weather forecast. Mike Tenor from Chicago, Illinois, and T-Storm Weather will be here. Don Day is away this afternoon. And it all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Of course, we'll get an update of the latest crop progress and conditions from the state statisticians, too, from Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, and Minnesota.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago, on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The nearby contract for the December soft red winter wheat down 7 cents today at $8.85. That's on a close. July at $8.62, 2.5 cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price there down 14.25 at $8.86.5. December corn futures a close, 7.42.5, down 2.25. The March at 7.45.5, 3.25 lower. And the May futures at 7.46.5 in the corn pit, down 0.75. July futures managed to gain 0.75, settled at $7.41, and September of next year at $6.63, a half higher. December futures of next year down 0.25 at $6.38 in the corn pit. Soybean futures November contract $16.95. Settlement price, rather closing price, a half lower. January up a penny at $16.12. The March at $15.74.5 in the bean pit, up 2.25. And the May soybeans today, $15.26.75, up 6.5 cents. July at $15.07, that's up 7. And the August contract at $14.70.25, down 2.75 for the day. Next year's November beans at $13.53 a bushel, up 3/4. Soybean meal futures, October at $4.86.50, up 4.90. Bean oil at $53.05, down 71 cents. Live cattle futures on the afternoon. The October contract at $122.70, down 2.60. The December down the $3 limit at $125.40. September feeders at $143.20, 57.5. Half lower, the October down 222.5, and their settlement price at 145.17.5. October lean hog $76.27.5, 22.5 cents lower, and December futures were down 70 cents per 100 pounds at $74.65 in the lean hogs from the CME Group in Chicago. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the November at $91.40 a barrel, down 53 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.96.07. That's up a nickel on the day. Ethanol at $2.27.3, up 2.2. The RBOB to ethanol spread has changed to 2.8 cents to the positive side, and the spread difference now at 69.4 cents per gallon in favor of blending ethanol. October futures natural gas at $2.93.7. That's up a dime. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.10.9. Up a penny for the day. And the gold futures on the afternoon, $1.70 higher at $1,763.90. The U.S. dollar at 79.55 is down, or rather up, 0.03 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, there is a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Should be mostly cloudy for the day. And a high of 74 degrees with a south-southwest wind at about 14 miles an hour. That a gust all the way to 17. And then this evening, the 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 58 on a southwest wind again at 3 to 6. And tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be partly sunny tomorrow, high of 71 or 77 degrees, with a west wind at about 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy and 51 on an east-northeast wind, so the wind changes directions and 3 to 7 miles an hour. Thursday, sunny and a high of 72. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 50. Friday, sunny and 70. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 50. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 72 degrees, and Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 49. More on the weather forecast when we talk with the folks in Chicago at about 30 after the hour. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of September.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the agricultural futures is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, well, kind of a quiet day, I suppose, across a good portion of the Midwest. If you get out west, they may be shucking some corn, maybe combining a few beans. But in our area, I would imagine most people are shut down for the day.
We're pretty well shut down for the day as far as things are happening. You know, we had quite a few people in the office this morning. Of course, the big conversation piece was the big hailstorm that went through here on Friday evening about 7 o'clock. And it was a big one. You know, we had a lot of guys in here that lost windows in their house, terrorized their fields. We had bean fields being that they'd started to combine in that were making right around 30 bushel, and they're down to 8 bushel to the acre now afterwards, what they were able to cut yesterday afternoon.
Oh, so that's just, it's just awful when something like that happens, no matter the time of the year, but it seems to be worse at harvest time because there's just no coming back from it.
There's no coming back. I mean, basically, it's split the bean pods, and we'll have a pretty green field out there as soon as they get done combining.
Yeah, lots of beans in the ground, a little rain, and it's supposed to get warm up, too, so it'll probably be nice and green out there, I suspect.
It'll be a pretty little field.
Hey, what'd you see in Chicago for the day?
Hey, you know, we're seeing a lot of resistance to wanting to rally here. It's getting towards the month end, the quarter end, and, you know, the funds are rolling out of the November 12 beans, and a lot of them clear into the November 13 beans. And also coming up, it's the Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival, one of their big festivals coming up too that way. And, of course, the government report on Friday that has everybody a little bit puzzled because we don't know how they're going to incorporate their stocks and calling them old or new and what it's going to be. Sort of, we've had that problem the last couple of years. So a little bit of hesitancy and a little bit of money moving out by the funds. They were slight sellers in the corn today and just very minute buyers in the beans. And you can tell by the way we closed, you know, down less than a penny in the corn and up less than three in the beans. So really a pretty quiet stabilization day, just waiting to see how the harvest progresses and what the government's going to say on Friday.
Money flowing other places, or traders just marking a little time before this Friday report?
You know, there has been some money. I think this was estimated the managed funds had $89 billion in commodities in August. And as of today, they've got $118 billion. So we've actually had a little money that's moved in, but I think that we're seeing some of it sort of just move to the sidelines, at least until we get 50% done in corn and beans and see if we can start stabilizing things. Mm-hmm. You know, the Brazilian government announced that they don't have that many beans left to export, and it turned things around, at least on the river down in Memphis. They jumped 15 cents on their basis and started taking Akhnov delivery beans down there that they weren't taking yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago before when we were looking at the marketing year for the United States at 60% sold for the export market. Now it's closer to 76%. It's really front-loaded. Does that scare you in any way?
Actually, it scares me less than if it was all spread out, because I think that if we can get things shipped and out of here, we've got a lot better chance that they can't back out of their corn and beans that they have got bought.
All right. Anything on the livestock side? Because it was kind of a down day there.
You know, that is sort of surprising. We wonder why it's such, but I guess that, you know, it can't go up every day.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that nationwide, 88% of the corn crop has reached maturity. 39% of that crop has been harvested. On average, about 13% is already in the bin at this point in time. Our condition report shows 27% in very poor condition this week. That compares to 25% last week.
24% poor compared to 25% last week, so the crop getting a little worse in its nature as we make our way through the end of the growing season. That's pretty typical. Soybeans are dropping leaves at the rate of about 73% nationwide. That's ahead of the rolling five-year average of 59%. 22% of the crop has been harvested. That's well ahead of the 8% nationwide on the rolling five-year average. The condition report shows that 14% of the crop is in very poor condition compared to 15% last week, and 20% in poor condition compared to 21% last week. So it's getting just a bit better for the soybeans, probably because of the rainfall. Now, here are the state statisticians from the five top corn producing states in the nation with updates from their regions.
This is Little Travis Brazil, our field officer, with the weekly crops and weather report. Over one-third of the state corn is harvested, with a few farmers already completing their harvest. Farmers in northwest Iowa harvest over one-third of the soybeans crop during the week. Topsoil moisture failed to 84% very short to short, while subsoil moisture failed to 95% very short to short. Only 18% of Iowa's corn is rated in good to excellent condition. 96% of the corn crop is edible beyond the mature stage. 37% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed over 3 weeks ahead of normal. Moisture content for all corn in the field is estimated at 21%, while the moisture content for bean harvest is estimated at 18%. 26% of our soybeans is rated in good to excellent condition. 95% of the soybean crop is turning color, while 78% of our soybean crop is dropping leaves. This is LaTravis Brazil reporting from the USDA NAS, our field office.
This is Brad Schwab, chief crop statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois field office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, September 23rd. Cool, dry weather across much of the state provided near-ideal conditions for corn and soybean harvest to continue. Temperatures were again below normal last week, averaging 58 degrees, which was 6 degrees below normal. Precipitation for the week averaged 36 one-hundredths of an inch, also 49 one-hundredths of an inch below normal, for the 7-day period ending Sunday, September 23rd. Corn in the mature stage was reported at 95%, compared to 75% 1 year ago and 64% for the five-year average. Corn harvest now stands at 54%, compared to 19% last year and 23% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn harvest category was the West Southwestern District, where 80% is now in the bins. Soybeans, dropping leaves, advanced to 66%, compared to 52% 1 year ago and 55% for the five-year average. 8% of the crop has now been harvested, and this pace compares to 3% a year ago and 9% for the five-year average. Overall, the state soybean crop was rated in mostly fair condition. Fall seeding of the soft red winter wheat crop is now underway at 5% planted, which compares to 5% 1 year ago and 4% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with a crop weather report for the week ending September 23, 2012. Cooler temperatures and limited rainfall aided crop dry down and harvest progress across the state. Some locations received the first frost of the season. Soybean harvest picked up momentum as producers turned attention away from dryland corn. Corn harvest progress is near 1 month ahead of average and over one-third complete. Corn conditions rate at 22%, very poor, 19 poor, 26 fair, 29 good, and 4 excellent. Winter wheat seeding was nearing the halfway point, but fields were slow to emerge due to dry soil conditions. Sorghum harvest has started, and proso millet harvest was near two-thirds complete. Cattle producers continued seeking forage supplies, and culling of livestock remained active. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Producers continued to make rapid progress on the soybean harvest, well ahead of the five-year average pace. As of September 23rd, soybean harvest advanced 29 percentage points from the previous week to reach 45% complete. That compares to 5% complete for the five-year average. The average moisture content was 11%. Soybean conditions were rated with 3% very poor, 8% poor, 29% fair, 48% good, and 12% excellent. Corn harvest advanced 18 percentage points from the previous week to reach 30% complete. That compares to 2% for the average. The average moisture was 19%. Precipitation amounts varied, with several reporting stations recording over 0.5 inches in the northeastern and southwestern parts of the state. Top soil moisture supplies were rated with 33% very short, 45% short, and 22% adequate. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 23, 2012. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the crop progress and condition report for the week ending Sunday, September 23rd. Temperatures ranged from 5 to 12 degrees below normal during the week, with a low of 33 degrees and a high of 81. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0.07 to 2.83 inches. Isolated showers delivered heavy rainfall in a few southern and central areas, and some hail damage was reported. 82% of the corn acreage is reported as mature and safe from frost. Harvest is rapidly advancing even though the crop has been slow to dry down. 26% of the corn acreage has been harvested compared to 6% last year and 14% for the five-year average. By area, 18% of the corn acreage has been harvested in the northern districts, 21% in the central region, and 52% in the south. Corn condition is rated 11% good to excellent compared with 33% last year at this time. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 22%. 80% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves and 10% has been harvested. Soybean condition is now rated 27% good to excellent compared with 40% last year at this time. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 14.5%. Pods in some soybean fields are mature, but the stems remain green, forcing farmers to reduce combining speeds. Some hay was cut and baled with good yields reported, and livestock were reported to be in mostly good condition. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress in their regions. You can hear them again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
This is the closing market report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us from K-State University, that's Kansas State, is Dan O'Brien to take a look at the energy markets for the day. Thanks, Dan, for taking the time with us. You sent me some paperwork. I found a lot of it pretty interesting. Let's start off with a couple of the charts. And I'm wondering, when you look at the monthly ethanol futures and the monthly corn futures starting since 05, do you see very much of a relationship between the two?
Well, even though it seems like on a weekly basis we have a lot of co-movement, or at least we have in the last month or so, or actually going back probably the first of the year, in the longer term it really seems that we spend our time in the ethanol futures either from $2.50 to $3 or from $2 to $2.50 in terms of the price per gallon, whereas here in the corn market this summer especially we've set new record highs going up above and now just coming off a little bit off of $8. So anyway, interesting to see that type of trend. Although on the cost side, we sure have an impetus to keep those things together. It seems when we have the bigger moves in the economy affecting the fuel market that ethanol and corn aren't that highly associated on a monthly correlation basis.
With that established, can you take a look at the ethanol production over time for the last couple of years? It seems that it's not moved a lot, although that sort of is a relative term, and it depends on how widely
right.
spread out the chart that you're looking at, I think.
Well, that's right, and we're looking at the U.S. Energy Information Administration data coming out of the Department of Energy, and we have seen, I guess the short runner concern has been the decline we've seen in ethanol production down to daily averages of more like 819,000 barrels per day, or 816,834, as opposed to where we were coming to the end of last year, closer to 900. And that's not, although you would think that would be that big a difference, still it does indicate some slowdown in production, probably, well, due to loss of profitability or limited profitability in the ethanol industry overall.
And then you sent me a piece that suggests the breakout of profit margins by product for an ethanol plant.
Well, that's right. You know, there are some big things afoot in terms of the profitability of ethanol and what makes it up. Ethanol prices have been falling in September, ranging about $2.28 to $2.49 a gallon. Last year during middle-late September, they were $2.64. But distillers' grains prices, although they've been falling as well, they're up from last year. So you've got kind of a switch going on in terms of a change in terms of what contributes to the profitability or lack thereof of ethanol plants. I really think the big picture issue is that we're still in a period of moderate to marginal losses for ethanol plants when you look at least average ethanol plant production across the industry, and that's been extending since January. So, you know, when we hear of plant shutdowns and things at least temporarily slowing down, well, that's indicative of a time period where, again, high corn prices and so-so ethanol prices have not been helping us out on a profitability side.
Can you draw any conclusions from January 05 to now in terms of the net profit margins of an ethanol production plant, at least the one that you model that you run?
Yeah, we're following the ISU model. I think when you look at the boom times in ethanol from January 05 basically through into 2006 on into 2007, we were getting 50 cents to a dollar or up, sometimes up to $2 per gallon in the best of days. Now, we're much more of a mature industry. When we do see profitability, we get up to say 50 cents per gallon of ethanol produced. A lot of time, we're spending a lot of time 10 to 15 to 20 cents. Now, when we have losses, excuse me, we're more in the 5 to 10 cent per gallon range. And if we get much below that, then we're just idling plants.
Right, so it begins to be a very narrow range for operation at that point.
I think it's a mature industry with plants that can step aside at least for a period of time when profit margins get tight. You know, in this type of a situation, you really get down to I think the leverage ratio or the amount of debt a plant is carrying as a relative to the money it produces, and if it's in a tighter situation when you get in these downturns like this, profitability wise, those are the more at risk plants. But thankfully, we have a pretty good body of plants that are in pretty good shape. Again, upwards of 200 or so, according to the Renewable Fuels Association numbers. So, really, a pretty mature industry that can hold on through a downtime like this. But again, you can't lose money perpetually, and so I'm sure people in the ethanol industry are pretty wary of this downturn and hoping that it downturn profitability wise and hoping that it doesn't extend for too far into the future.
The ISU model shows a net loss for the month of September.
Shows a loss of 4 cents a gallon for ethanol produced. Again, the average during from January through that time, if you add September now, of about 7 to 10 cents a gallon as you look at the numbers in different ways. That compares back to December of 2008 through May 2009, the time that had been the worst on record for ethanol when we averaged 5 cents a gallon of loss. But again, we had plants that were more highly leveraged at that time and a lot more closures and problems. It seems now where we're in a relatively better shape from debt management, from our debt point of view, and are able to apparently weather this without the broad-scale closures we had back in that 2008-2009 time frame.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State University, and K-State Extension joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Crab Newberg Day. It's also National Food Service Workers' Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Melville Reuben Bissell was born. Bissell invented the carpet sweeper in 1876 to sweep up dust from his wife's crockery shop in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dust from the packings had been affecting his wife's health. In 1846, Peter Kalpin was born. A German meteorologist and climatologist, he played a major role in the advancement of both sciences. And the climate classification system he developed remains popular today because it uses easily obtained data. In 1879, the cream separator was patented. Before milk cream separators, cream was separated from milk by letting the milk sit until the cream floated to the top and then could be skimmed off by hand. In 1974, it was first reported that Freon from aerosol cans was destroying the ozone layer above the Earth. And in 1985, William Cumming Rose died, an American biochemist. He researched amino acids and established the importance of the 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Mike Tenora is here instead of Don Day, who's away this afternoon. Thanks, Mike, for filling in. We appreciate that. You're at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Tell me about the weather forecast as you see it for the Midwest first, please.
The big thing that we have taking place is rain for the next several days. We do have a warm front that's attempting to move northward across the Corn Belt, but it's having a lot of trouble doing so. And that's actually good news for areas that still need rain. So the southern half of the Corn Belt, say southern halves of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and much of Missouri, are looking at 1 to 2 inches of rain through Friday. So we'll see a big soil moisture increase for soft red winter wheat planting, though harvesting will slow down a little bit. As we head west, this is also a good situation for farmers from southern Kansas and south through Oklahoma and Texas, because we will see quite a bit of rain out there as well, say on the order of 1/3 of an inch to 2/3 of an inch with localized 1-inch amounts for hard red winter wheat planting. The only real problem we have right now, and it is becoming a larger problem with time, is that it's very dry out in the plains. 88% of the usual hard red winter wheat production region have been drier than average over the last 30 days. And of that 88%, 39% only received about 1/4 of its average rainfall. So we need a big rain from Montana all the way south through Texas. And at this point, we will see some improvement in the southern areas, but those southern areas have actually been wetter than places from Nebraska and north where planting is behind schedule. That's hard red winter wheat planting due to the dryness.
Two things at work there. One, they need enough moisture to get the crop up and growing, or in one of the two, and then something in order to rejuvenate the very, very dry subsoil moisture levels there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are two issues taking place. The first one is we need the rain now just so we can get the plant growing and established nicely leading into the winter. As we head into the winter, we'll need snowpack, and soil moisture could improve that way. But keep in mind that the plains have a very dry climate in the winter, much drier than across the Midwest. Some areas average less than 1/2 of an inch of rain or snow, just water equivalent, over the period of 1 month out in the plains in the middle of winter. So we won't be looking for big changes in soil moisture then. But hopefully right now we will, because the climate is wetter for the next month or two.
Tell me about the growing regions in South America.
Well, everything was real good in Argentina right now for early corn and sunflower planting. The real problem that's taking place is in Paraguay and in the southern tier of Brazil. These areas have been unseasonably dry since mid-August. Most have only received around 1/3 of their average rainfall. And because of that, we need heavy rain to occur in order to get corn planting started in widespread fashion over the next few weeks. These areas are running rainfall deficits of 4 to 5 inches over that period. So these key states, we would say around the southern 40% of Brazil's key corn production region, is real dry right now for planting, and that's not normal. So We'll need to be getting some rain there. There is a chance for rain coming up around Monday of next week, but other than that, it looks pretty dry, so we're not looking for planting to take off anytime soon.
Thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome.
That's Mike Tenure. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, and helps us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.